This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, it's 5:09 in the evening. You're with Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman on the evening edition. And Dewan Rakyat is back in session, which means another season of Popit Parliament. Tasha Fusil is with us to share updates on the first day of the sitting. What do you have?
Okay, so I wanted to start with the first question on the order paper, which came from Datuk Sri Dr. Anwar Ibrahim. He wanted to know what measures Putrajaya were planning to take after that UN Human Rights Special Report came out by Philip Alston disputing government claims that poverty had been eliminated in the country. Dr. Mahathir was there to respond to that question. So he says that they've been looking into a new metric to measure Malaysia's poverty line.
Kerajaan sebenarnya telah pun memulakan kajian semula pendapatan garis kemiskinan ataupun PGK sejak bulan Mac 2019. Dalam kajian separuh penggal Rancangan Malaysia ke-11, kerajaan telah memperkenalkan Indeks Kemiskinan Pelbagaian Dimensi ataupun MPI, Multi Dimensional Poverty Index, untuk mengukur dan memantau kemiskinan dalam perspektif pelbagai dimensi yang merangkumi kesihatan, pendidikan, pendapatan dan taraf hidup. MPI ini dilihat lebih inklusif selaras dengan amalan antarabangsa. Tuan Yang di-Pertua, kerajaan bersedia untuk menyemak semula PGK ini bagi memberi gambaran sebenar isu kemiskinan di Malaysia.
So yeah, the MPI was already introduced under the 11th Malaysia Plan, but I think what needs tweaking is actually the benchmark that they're using to measure poverty, because right now in Malaysia's version of the MPI, they're still using the poverty line income as a measure, which is a measure of absolute poverty rather than relative poverty, which it in itself is a flaw in how we measure how many poor communities there are in Malaysia.
And that's important because you do need an accurate way to measure poverty if you're going to make the necessary allocations for budget and also the shared prosperity vision, which we are going to talk about later.
Yeah, it's going to occupy a lot of our show today. That's going to be kicking off after the 6 o'clock news. So if you have got questions on our new economic agenda or vision, do send them in. You know the numbers. It's 7733 2900 to call. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
You know, the big news from last weekend was the Malay Dignity Congress. Was that brought up in Parliament?
Yes, there was definitely like a lot of attention on the Congress outside of the Parliament chambers. MPs were getting doorstopped basically to give their opinions on some of the sentiments that were shared, some of the demands that were being made. One of the people that were asked was, of course, Anwar Ibrahim. He wasn't actually at the Congress. So I think a lot of people were speculating, you know, was he deliberately not invited to the Congress, which actually turned out to be the case.
Memang tak ada jemput. Tak ada jemput. Tapi bila saya ditanya, saya sebut tak ada jemput. Dia sebut, dia kata, parti ini parti pelbagai kaum. Jadi tak ada jemput. Tapi kemudian, jemput juga. Tapi jemput petang tu, semasa saya di Port Dickson, Azizah telefon beritahu bahawa ada wakil daripada Kongres minta saya hantar. Tapi terlambatlah saya pagi tu. Ada rapat di Negeri Sembilan. Kemudian saya ke Sekolah Intan Perdana pada masa yang sama.
He sounded really cheery for somebody who wasn't invited.
Yeah, I wasn't invited to something.
Pretty much. There was the definite vibe of, yeah, memang. I really enjoyed that.
So while he wasn't there, did he happen to have any thoughts on, well, some of the demands that were made by the Congress?
He didn't refer to any of these specific demands. He kind of just reiterated his position, you know, the things that he felt were important to focus on, which was good governance and ethics within the country, which, you know, obviously he feels are issues that are applicable to everybody. It doesn't matter what race you are.
Well, of course, it is our concern that whoever wants to bring up their views or appeal, we can always consider, right? But I said I remain focused on the issue of governance and ethics, the issue of endemic corruption and squandering of billions of Bumi Putera wealth and national wealth. These are, to me, the primary concern. Now, on second point, other than issue of governance and anti-corruption drive, is the issue of poverty and inequality. The figures must be right, and it must be transparent in the sense that with this approach, the vast majority of the Malaysian Bumi Putras of Sabah and Sarawak will not feel marginalized, but at the same time, it's not race-based because pockets of poverty in the urban areas affecting the Chinese community or the Indians, particularly in the estate. I've been stressing the estate sector because some areas are so dilapidated that ignoring it will be grossly unjust. I am a Muslim, and the principle of Islam to my mind, other than peace, is justice and compassion.
So one of the demands that were made during this Congress was, of course, for key positions within government, like the finance minister post or attorney general, that it should be reserved for Malay people only. So we asked Anwar about that. He sort of, in his own words, said, nah.
The finance minister must be a person who is qualified, competent, professional, who cares for the Malays and Bumiputera and cares for all Malaysians.
So that was Datuk Sri Dr. Anwar Ibrahim giving his comments on a variety of issues. Who else chimed in on this specific thing to do with the Malay Dignity Congress?
Economic Affairs Minister Datuk Sri Azmin Ali also commented. He said that basically the government is open to dialogue with all groups and is willing to consider all suggestions.
Ini adalah sentimen dan perasaan orang Melayu. Dan sebagai sebuah kerajaan yang peduli rakyat, kita mendengar semua rakyat Malaysia. Perdana Menteri dan Menteri-Menteri Kabinet sering mengadakan dialog dan pertemuan dengan semua rakyat dan semua pertubuhan dan kumpulan. Tetapi dalam konteks malam, perasaan orang Melayu itu telah pun dizahirkan dalam bentuk dokumen yang diserahkan oleh Perdana Menteri. Dan kita akan mendengar dan melihat apakah yang telah dinyatakan dan mungkin ada perkara-perkara yang boleh kita pertimbangkan, kita akan pertimbangkan.
Having said that, one of the perkara that he wasn't so keen to pertimbangkan was the demand to close down vernacular schools.
Itu just one of those issues that was presented. I don't think the media should harp on that particular issue alone. Let the government study the proposal and the issues raised by the group, and we will respond to that in due time.
So that was, of course, Economic Affairs Minister Datuk Sri Azmin Ali. And with respect, I'm not sure that it is only the media that continues to harp on the issue of vernacular schools. I mean, harp is an interesting word there because it has been a prevailing issue. And I think it's one that's trotted out anytime there is this discussion of race relations in the country, and politicians have done it as well.
Yeah, it's all the time, right? And it's something that it comes up even in general conversations, say, among friends, in kopitiams, that, oh, well, if only we had one unified schooling system, racism would be eliminated completely from our dear country.
And yet, here we are. So we're going to be talking, like we said, about the Shared Prosperity Vision 2030 after the 6 o'clock news. We're also going to be touching on the situation surrounding the Malay Dignity Congress and the demands and repercussions of that. So tune in after the 6 o'clock news.
Moving on to the next update, this morning MACC issued a list of compound notices to individuals and entities who they've identified as recipients of 1MDB money, and one of the accused was in Parliament today.
That's right. So I think 9 individuals were named in that list, including Najib Razak's brother, Nazir Razak. I mean, he wasn't there, but of course they were the UMNO members. One of them being Pontian MP Ahmad Mazlan. He allegedly received 2 million ringgit from 1MDB.
Did he clarify his involvement in 1MDB?
He did, but not before he actually called a PC to talk about GST. Like, he just wanted everyone to know how happy he was at the idea that it would be or might be reintroduced. He was so for it, he even offered his services to Pakatan.
Saya ingin mengesyore kepada pihak kerajaan, jika GST ingin dilaksanakan, saya boleh menjadi konsultan kepada mereka dan konsultan percuma, FOC, untuk saya berceramah dan menjelaskan kepada rakyat tentang baiknya GST ini. Itu tawaran saya kepada kerajaan.
Yep, so there is that.
A bipartisan effort. So lovely.
But, you know, I don't think that the press was really that keen on following up with that particular issue. Obviously, everybody wanted to know what he had to say about his involvement with 1MDB. So he knew that. He anticipated that. So he had like a press statement all printed out and ready to give out to everyone, which he read out verbatim.
Saya telah disiasat oleh dua pihak berhubung dakwaan kononnya saya menerima sejumlah wang yang dikatakan berkaitan 1MDB. Pertama, siasatan oleh PDRM dan kedua oleh pihak SPRM sebelum ini. Namun saya telah maklumkan kepada mereka bahawa saya tidak pernah menerima cek dengan sejumlah yang ditunjukkan salinan cek kepada saya oleh pihak PDRM dan pihak SPRM itu. Saya juga telah menandatangani dokumen PDRM dan SPRM bahawa saya tidak pernah menerima wang seperti yang dinyatakan. Saya akan berbincang dengan peguam saya untuk tindakan selanjutnya. Ahmad Maslan, 7 Oktober 2019.
Verbatim. So, in case you didn't catch that, that was Ahmad Maslan, Pontian MP, categorically denying any involvement with 1MDB. And I think there's just layers to unpack with that statement, particularly having it rolled into this whole, oh, GST, we're talking about it again. Yeah. Great.
I love the fact that he started with GST. He's like, oh, I want to help you guys. I want to, on the other hand, like, saya dituduh 1MDB.
If I recall from the last session, I think it was also on the same points that he has just generally been quite open and very positive about talking about the GST. I think the last time he held a press conference when I was there, he said, well, no one really reported anything the last time I held a press conference about GST, but the moment the refunds and elements of corruption was involved, everyone was interested. I'm glad to see all the press members here.
I mean, I know that we covered that last week, but Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad has since come out again to say, nah, not reconsidering it. So yeah. Unfortunately, I think there will be no speaking engagements on this particular
issue.
No
free consultations.
Not as such, no.
Okay, anyway, one last item for the day. You know, I thought that the day was the first day back in Parliament was going pretty smoothly, like not much really was happening outside and inside the chambers until the Law Minister in the PM's office, Datuk Liew Vu Keong, tabled the IPCMC bill for its second reading. There were 24 amendments added to the bill, which opposition members were really not happy about. They said that these amendments were too much to make to a new bill and that proper procedures weren't followed. Former Defence Minister Hishamuddin Hussein also said that the IPCMC bill is about the morale of the police force and should be treated with more respect.
Mana nak letak maruah dewan kita? Mana nak letak maruah dan kedudukan rang undang-undang yang ada sekarang ni?
Dewan faham tak? Prosedur macam mana yang dia katakan tadi tak boleh, Tuan Speaker. Tak pernah berlaku ni. Borak dengan di parlimen dia dengan negara lain, nak bercakap pandai. CPA kita nak cakap pandai. Kita sendiri pun tak pandai uruskan dewan kita, peraturan apa kita tak pandai ikut. Main sokong, membabi buta untuk apa?
Tanya garang.
Ah, the sweet sounds of parliament. I've missed this.
It's always good to hear that stuff again.
Tasha, thank you very much for that update. If you have any thoughts that you'd like to share, whether it's about the IPCMC bill, whether it is about Shared Prosperity Vision 2030, which again, we're going to be covering in much more detail in the 6 o'clock hour, do send that through. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. You're listening to The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.